9. On the Via Aquila. On the Via Aquila, vast crowds swirl around her. Euphrati Keeler sets down the old woman she's been carrying, perching her on a low plinth that has lost its statue. The old woman is dumb with trauma, unresponsive. Her feet are in a pitiful state. Wherever she started running from, she did so without shoes. The streets are covered in broken glass.
"Wait with her," Keeler says to Eild. "Ask again if anyone's seen her relatives."
The old man nods. Keeler turns and looks for the source of the voice calling to her. It could be anyone. There are so many people. Wereft estimates over 75,000 on Aquila alone. Lost, displaced, fleeing their homes, the civilians, and that is always who they are, just citizens or workers or families, come looking for something, a place to hide, a place of shelter, a way out. Somehow they find her instead. And when they call to her, they want all manner of things, most of which she can't provide. Help, answers, reassurance, promises. They want to know why any of this is happening. They want to hear what she has to say. What can she say? There are nominated speakers in her makeshift conclave, though what they teach has little to do with any spiritual philosophy. Many call them preachers, but she thinks that's too easy and misleading a word to use. She has trained them to offer secular guidance, instructions on organization, mobilization, and simple habits of survival, to stand up and teach by word and deed. This is no time to debate higher truths. The state of things is shifting by the hour. The Palatine Zone is breached and overrun, and the Sanctum Imperialis, the ominously named Final Fortress, has been formally sealed. Death approaches from every direction. The handful of Astartes that were escorting her have been obliged to fall back and form a rearguard. Now, for her and the Conclave, what began as a stopgap effort to organize a few hundred into acts of resistance is no longer tenable. There are so many people, and not enough weapons, not even improvised ones. Short of driving the unarmed masses wholesale at the enemy formations, in the hope that sheer numbers will slow their advance, the Conclave has become engaged in a frantic endeavor to manage the mass exodus and steer the crowds towards the few districts of the Palatine that remain unviolated. After that? Well, there is no after that. The Outer Dominions, all of Magnificans and Anterior, are gone. The inner palace is shrinking, like a boat slowly sinking, or a log burning up in a grate. Soon, there will be nowhere to go at all. It seems the voice belonged to Peravanna. The old apothecary general is shoving through the dense crowds towards her.
"Avis Sardis is blocked," he tells her.
He is plastered with blood, tunic, apron, hands and face, and none of it is his.
"Fire," she asks.
"War engines," he replies.
"We move them north, then," she says.
It's not a question. There is only north.
"There are thousands more coming," Peravanna says. "Along Kyros and Principus and Nevis Heights. Thousands. I've never seen..."
Keeler nods.
"As if they know you're here," he adds. "How do they know you're here?"
"They don't."
"Word spreads," he says.
"They don't, sir."
Keeler turns and points. She points past the monumental spires around them at the sky beyond, at the throbbing glare underlighting the cloud over Lion and Gilded and Europa.
"Firestorms," she says. "Slaughter. They come this way because there is no other."
It's true, but neither of them fully believes it. Word has spread. She's tried to keep her message simple, so the nominated speakers can promulgate it effectively. It is an essence, call it faith or belief, not in the Emperor as a god, for he denies that, as firmly as she refuses the label saint, but in the idea of the Emperor as a leader with a plan, a great purpose, a dream of Imperium that must be supported and preserved. If the masses come seeking truth, there is too much truth already. That hesitant question of divinity seems so laughable now. She's known that since the Whisperheads, the first epiphany that opened her mind. She has struggled over it, argued over it, been imprisoned for it. Now her heresy seems quite tame. The immaterial Neverborn are everywhere. If you are looking for signs and wonders, here they are, in staggering abundance. And if demons exist, then surely the divine exists too. Reality could not be so cruel and mindless to create darkness without light. Still, proof denies faith. The Emperor has denied his divinity at every turn. There must be a reason for that. That reason must be a crucial part of his intention. Keela thinks she knows what the reason is. She doesn't know if private contemplation has led her to this, or if it is a revelation that has been granted to her. It is simple. Any recognition of power beyond the material admits the immaterial. To accept him as God accepts simultaneously the darkness. The Emperor forbade his own worship so that darkness could not be allowed in. Humankind is too delicate a vessel. That's her truth, her meta veritas. Since the Whisperheads, her life has demonstrated in harrowing ways that she has been singled out for something. Early on, she thought it was to light the first flame and speak the word of the Emperor's true glory, to be an apostle. The Emperor, in humility, could not name himself a god. Perhaps he needed others to name him so. She is no longer convinced that is what was intended for her. She now believes her purpose is rather different, part of the great purpose she has been allowed to glimpse. Faith is the key, after all, not the assured faith in a proven truth, but the liberation of unconditional faith, the blind trust that needs no proof or verification. To cast free and commit to him, to believe in him, not as a god, nor yet as a man, but as a process, a path, a configuration of the future. He has a design. It has been in operation for thousands of years. To truly serve him, one must commit to it and be part of it. One does not need to understand it. That is the only possible expression of faith. That demons have arisen, that Horus Lupercal, in infamy, has turned and broken every bond of fealty and blood, is not proof of the Emperor's theophany. Neither is it evidence of his humanity and fallibility. It is not even a confirmation that his design has failed. It is simply a testament to the eternal significance of the design itself. For if all this has been done to stop it, if the warp itself has risen to prevent it, how sublime must it be? Peravanna has already moved away to help incoming wounded. Keela moves back through the crowd, along the Via Aquila, to try to clear the way ahead. She ignores the sound of tumult echoing across the city behind her and the frightened screaming of the crowd. So many people. Some reach out to touch her as she passes, as though they know her. "Keep moving," she says. "North! Go north!"